dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. I've been waiting for you all week. This show is live video, so if you're only listening right now and you'd like to see us, you can go to my website on Dreaming Healing by simply Googling The Queen of Dreams. It'll take you to my website, and up in the right-hand corner, you'll see a little button you can push that will take you to Dream Vision 7 Radio TV Network, and you can watch us live. Right there, you'll see a little box that says YouTube with a TV on it, and you can watch this show live. So we have a business expert panel tonight, and we're going to be talking about leadership, networking, and love. And we want to know the secret to making all this success look so easy. And each of these panelists is an author, and they've written a book about their area of expertise. And we're going to talk to them about how the changes that they see happening right now are positive ones, especially after COVID. But first, we're going to do our little meditation. So for those of you who have not done the meditation with me before, I want you to get comfortable. We're going to take three deep breaths in. We're going to blow them out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. And then we're going to build a protection bubble around us with our special gift, that gift of love, anything that holds special power for you, which will become your power gift, okay? So get comfortable. We're going to move through this a little quickly tonight because with a panel, time just flies. And also because sometime during this hour, I'm probably going to get hit with a Cat 1 hurricane. So if I suddenly go dark, don't worry, I've got a little candle to hand to put under me. It's going to look like Halloween, but hopefully we're going to make it through this because I am in the St. Petersburg area, and apparently this is supposed to be serious, but you know me, I'm never serious. So get comfortable and feel yourself getting centered. Take a deep breath in. Imagine any negativity that might have happened to you this week. Connecting to that breath of life, blow it out across the room. Again, deep breath in, really deep. Imagine any of the little negativities, maybe something you said to somebody else that's been bothering you, a bad dream, a nightmare. Connecting to that breath of life, blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. All the way out, just empty your lungs. One more time, deep breath in. Hold it. Any stubborn little pieces of negativity get in there? Blow it out across the room, right into that purple flame of Saint Germain. See it turning into golden light and being returned to the universe. Now imagine holding something that is a power gift to you. It can be jewelry given to you by a loved one. It can be your favorite flower, your favorite crystal, anything that holds power for you. Imagine swinging it around your body to create a mirrored protective bubble that only allows that which is of the highest and best to be brought into that bubble with your spirit guides and your guardian angels. Anything else is returned right back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, Slowly open your eyes and feel yourself grounded and protected and cleared. So let me introduce you to our guests tonight. We have Sally Bolanjoko and Dr. Sally, although she wants me to only call her Sally, Dr. Sally is the author of Leading Without Title. And it's real life leadership philosophy that works. And she believes we are all innate leaders. We have Frank Zaccari, who is the author of Business Secrets for Walking on Water. And he's going to be talking about his business secrets for success and how you have to marry business and love. And we have Nathan A. Perez with us. Nathan, can you hold up your book for us?
Sure. Hey, everybody.
And this is Nathan's book. Nathan, I don't have your book with me, so can you tell us the title of your book?
You bet. It's called The 20-Minute Networking Meeting, Learn to Network, Get a Job.
Great. So networking is really important. So what we want to focus on with the group today, and I'm going to start out right away with one question for all three of our panelists. And I want to know what qualifies them to write the books that they wrote. And then we're going to get into how this is playing out after COVID. So Frank, let's start with you. What qualifies you to write Business Secrets for Walking on Water?
What qualifies? A good question. I spent 30 plus years either owning or running organizations. And in that period, in those 30 years, I saw a lot of things that worked well, and I saw a lot of things that didn't work well. And the biggest thing that I discovered was you cannot separate your personal and professional life, period. And it's a combination of 30 plus years of stories and experiences, and they're real world, real people doing real things.
I can attest to that. Yes. And so, Dr. Sally, what qualifies you to write your book?
For about 45 years, I have worked on my own school. I began with Rainy Nursery Primary School, 16th August 1979. And today I have a bigger school in Abuja that began 25 years ago. I have been running these two schools now for more than 45 years. And I've been touching real people, motivating them to work with me, partner with me, and create their own lives. I mentor them, help them exit from my own school, open their own school, or go into businesses of their own vision. Mm-hmm. And I think I should know what it takes to run an organization after 45 years. I retired only last year at 69 years.
Wow. And I know that you were an advisor to President Goodluck Jonathan in Africa, right? In Nigeria?
Yes, I have advised the president of Nigeria for 5 years. And I have led the largest professional organization in Africa, Nigerian Institute of Management. I was the 17th national president and chairman of council. I also led the Association of Private School Proprietors in Nigeria for 4.5 years. So I've been working with people. My life has been with people and somehow always leading.
Great. So Nathan Perez, tell us what qualifies you to write about networking.
Right. So for about 15 years, I was in the retained executive search industry. For those of you that might not be familiar with retained executive search, it's firms like that that are hired by other companies to find new executive leaders for their own organization, right? So when a company needs a new VPR, or a VP of HR, a new SVP of marketing, a new CEO, usually those roles are filled one of two ways: networking and these kinds of firms. Now, where I was a little bit different though, is that I wasn't an executive recruiter. I was the first step of the whole process. So I was the research guy, but in a nutshell, I was the person who would go and find the candidates for the executive recruiters to recruit. So as you might imagine, that networking plays a pretty big role in that kind of work that I did. However, prior to that, for 20 years, I was in the entertainment industry as a professional actor and writer. I went to school for theater arts. I got a BFA theater arts. And as you may have heard with the entertainment industry, it's kind of all about who you know. So a good portion of my personal and professional life has just been around and all about networking.
Networking is very important. And let me give our audiences your websites, because our audience is very active. And right now, from what I understand coming into me here, they're very active on YouTube. So Dr. Sally Bulanjoko's website is Sally, SallyBulanjoko.com. For those of you who are fact-checking us right now. And Frank, your website is frankzaccari.com, and that's FrankZaccari.com. And then Nathan A. Perez is NathanAPerez.com. So those of you who are fact checking right now, and I turned my radio, my phone off, but as you can see, it's starting to blow up already like it did my last show. So I'm going to get right in with the hard questions. Let's start with you, Frank. How do you think the pandemic has changed work, business, and networking?
I think as bad as it was, it's a very good thing coming out of, because one of the things that I've discovered and people that I've met and talked with is workforce has decided now, I want what I want for my own joy and happiness. I'm not content spending an hour a day commuting to work each way, 10 hours at work. I'm spending 12 hours of the day being miserable. For the leaders, now it's going to get interesting, because the leadership is going to now have to say, I have to change. I have to understand I must meet people where they are. The days of everybody being in the office and me walking back, they're over. Those days are gone. Now it's going to have to be, you're going to have more humanistic skills. You're going to have to be able to promote critical thinking. You're going to have to be able to collaborate with people and work with people in groups. You're going to have to give them the opportunity to take the ball and run with it. But yet the people in the workforce now want to be heard. Now, you don't necessarily have to do everything that they say, but they want to be heard. And you want to really scare the hell out of a bunch of leaders. Prudential Financials sponsored a survey of the status of the American worker. 26% of the American workers intend to change jobs once this COVID thing settles out. So there's an awful lot of dissatisfaction in the workforce, and leaders are going to have to be the ones to change. And you're going to have to start recognizing that emotion and emotional intelligence comes with the person. You can't leave it at the door like they used to tell us when I was coming up. You know, keep your emotions out of the business workplace. So it was a bad pandemic, but I'm thrilled for where we're going.
Great. So Sally, you know, you have a totally different view on this, because you were in Africa during this pandemic. You were in Nigeria. So you were seeing a little bit different responses to the pandemic and in the workplace. So how do you feel the pandemic has changed work, business, networking in the workplace, both from Africa and from here?
Well, I will talk about on Africa. The pandemic came initially, many Africans people didn't believe it was true. By the time we believed, it was already down on us. And many organizations began to close up. The governments shut down all the organizations. And they didn't have any palliatives. So people were left on their own to try to make the ends meet. And so people needed to do other things to survive. I'm very happy because it got us being very creative, and many creative cottage businesses began to develop. People became creative enough to start from planning and doing new things. The place where it hit us the most was that schools didn't want to get shut down for 9 months. So we had to get to the internet, which we were not using before. And so very many schools came in to have Google Classrooms, to use Outlook, and began to train the children. So internet helped us a whole lot. We learned a whole lot during this time. And it has continued to improve. I'm sure social media and Twitter and YouTube and others had increased business from Africa during this time. And very many people now knew that this is it. We must be IT compliant and we must be literate, very much so in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, very many governments began to have scheme of every child one computer. And many governments are attaining it, especially in Rwanda, in Ghana, in South Africa. One child, one computer policy is on and it's making a lot of difference.
Interesting. That's great.
In Nigeria, not much, because we have a lot of crisis going on now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Nathan, same question to you. You know, how do you think the pandemic has changed work, business, and especially networking? Because when you kind of think of networking, Nathan, you think of, you know, cocktail parties, you know, right, meeting for groups. How has that changed?
You know, to be honest with you, from my perspective, it's gotten a whole lot better. And I actually have a lot of optimism. I share the same optimism as Frank as what's coming down the road. But here's the reason why I think it's gotten so much better. There are two primary reasons. First, there's the familiarity with the tech. And then there's pandemic boredom. And what I mean with the familiarity with the tech is that, you know, just beyond a year ago, maybe some of us were using video for networking. I was using it a fair amount, but then suddenly we were all forced to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And not just in this country, but literally around the world at the same time. And this wasn't just on a professional front, but it was also on the personal side. You know, if we couldn't see grandma or grandpa or the family, we had to learn to use this tech. And then of course you've got the pandemic boredom where we get all locked down. We aren't able to be so social in the way that we have been in the past. And because of that, I mean, we're social animals. And we haven't had the opportunity to go back to work or go to the restaurants or wherever else in the same way. As a consequence, what this meant is between the familiarity with the tech, the flexibility of being at home, right, and just being bored, people have become much more open to networking with other people because it's convenient, right, and we've got the time. And because of those things, so those two things combined, but with all of this crazy stuff that's been going on around the world, I think what that's done is it's created a sort of sense of distrust among people. And it's put us all on the same timeline. We are literally, the whole world is kind of experiencing the same things with the government weirdness and then the viruses and the vaccines and so forth and so on. And I think what that is going to do, in fact, what I've been watching it do, is change the way that people talk to one another and the way that people listen to one another. And as these issues sort of start to iron themselves out, I think people are going to become much more aware of how we communicate with one another and how we build our relationships. And like I said, I've already been seeing it in this last year, and I think that's the direction we're going to head. So I think better than ever, networking with this familiarity in tech and the boredom, better than ever.
You know, Frank, Nathan was just talking about relationships. How has our workplace and our work situations since COVID changed as far as basically what your book talks about, the marriage between your family life and your business life? How do you see that shifting?
That's real interesting, because prior to, for people in my age at levels that I was at, everything was about the job. You put in whatever it took, all the hours, all the time, all the travel, whatever. And the family was like a secondary, but it would come along because you're successful professionally. Now your pandemic comes along and you start to realize what's really important. Is the business really the most important thing? I don't think so, because we've seen so many people who came the way I came up, and they fight and scratch and claw and get to the top of the mountain. And then they get there and they say, my God, I made it. Look what I did. And then their family is gone, or they've left, or everything that really truly matters is no longer there. And what I think this pandemic did is it forced us to look inward and say, what really is important in my life? Is it dying at the work, at desk? Is it making time so I can have memories? Sarah Westbrook was a very good friend of mine, and it works on emotions. And she says, one of the things that she said when she talked to me, so one of the things you did, Frank, when you changed careers is you traded money for time and memories. Now, you can have your money taken away, you can have your job taken away, you can have your health taken away, but the memories stay forever. And I think people have said, I'm no longer going to be a slave to a job. The family is going to be an important role. And if need be, I'll start my own thing, as Sally had said. And we're seeing more and more of that starting to happen. And it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So instead of, during this pandemic, instead of somebody packing up and going off to work and leaving the spouse, whoever the spouse was at home, suddenly they were both at home 24/7. It was no longer, for better or for worse. It was for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what I told my husband. I said, this wasn't in the vows. So, there was some adjustment that had to be made there. For those of you just tuning in, you are watching Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, but my friends all call me Kat. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to ask Sally a similar question. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy, answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the second part of the show, Dreaming Healing. I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, but my friends all call me Kat, so I hope you will too. My husband did call me during the break, and when I wouldn't answer the phone because I had you guys on the show with me, he texted me and said, there's a warning out what did he say? I think he said shelter at home. It's like, gosh, this is like a deja vu. We're all talking about the COVID and now we're getting hit with a hurricane. So anyhow, just before the break, we were talking with Frank Zachary and Dr. Sally and Nathan Perez about the business opportunities that are opening now that COVID's over with. And so Dr. Sally, I want to ask you, do you see new business type opportunities opening for women post-COVID? And how is that?
Wow. In Nigeria, every woman had to go back to base and began to think of how to feed the family. Mm-hmm. And I saw many of them retool quickly. So many of them left. They were the businesses were locked down, their offices, you know, and so they came home and began to be tailors. Some quickly got to be apprentices to some designers. And you know, in Africa, you can make your own dress if you learn it. So they began to make dresses. Some of them began to knit and sell to supermarkets. Mm-hmm. And some women began to learn how to do makeup artists. We got very many makeup artists. Even as they have been called back to work, they still go out in the evenings and on Saturdays to practice the trade they had learned during COVID. So many people got into small-scale businesses. So many people. But you know, our government lost a lot of money because everybody left the ministry. The whole big secretariats in Africa were locked up. And they went home and increased the private sector businesses. And till now, many of those businesses are running part-time. Some have employed people to hold onto their businesses. Saloons developed. How to make cream. They were making cream, women. They were making...
Women were making cream?
They were making lotions.
Oh, lotions.
Lotions.
That's brilliant.
So if you say lotion in Nigeria, they will pick. We call after the English way we have been taught during colonialism, creams, you know, and lotions. And nail varnish, nail polish. Mm-hmm. Those lines increased. Soap making, liquid soap, tablet soap. We have very many brands. And you know, the interesting thing is we have begun to export these to nearby countries, Togo, Burkina Faso, to Ghana, and they have gone into export trade, even as they retain their government jobs. Because before we say, no, you don't hold two jobs. You don't do private practice when you are holding government job. But COVID taught us that people should be multi-skilled in order to survive in 21st century. And the government has come to accept that as a fact of living in the 21st century. People should be multi-skilled to survive.
And you know, Dr. Sally, women are multi-skilled. We're naturally multi-skilled. Oh, we're innate multi-skillers.
Oh, yes, it fits us. It fits our nature. The school system, we also have begun to have children homeschooled. It didn't happen in Africa before. All we knew was formal school. Nobody thought they had the skill to homeschool their children. The kids won't agree because they see other kids go out every day to school. But today, because of fear of COVID, kids agree with their parents. They stay home and be school homeschooled. And my school, there are many parents who are afraid to come back, even though government is assuring them that it was safe to go back to school. They were still afraid to come mix up with other children. So what we are doing now, we have the Google Classroom, and we have the open one-on-one classroom with the teachers.
And that leaves a lot of new opportunities. So Nathan, how have business opportunities changed since COVID that you've seen, especially with networking?
Right. Well, when everything happened with COVID, right, we all ended up going home, and what that meant is work, as we knew it, was happening from home. And so what I saw a year ago, it's interesting because I actually lead a 6-week boot camp that is a career transition what's next boot camp. And everybody in it, these are very senior executives, very experienced people, and a lot of big corporations. We had lots of discussions around this, you know, what's going to happen next. So this entire last year, just lots of jobs went away. And now what's happening, it's because of the pandemic, right? Everyone went home. Companies sort of discovered that, wait a minute, we can do this sort of work remotely. That kind of tells companies too that they can save a little bit of square footage, right, and rent and money in that way. So now fast forward a year, and there's been a bit of a kind of hiring spree in the sense that the outplacement world, those are people that and professionals that help people who have lost their jobs, has really kind of slowed down. So it's kind of picked back up. But what's different from a year ago is all of the tech. Nowadays, you can do just about any kind of work. It's not all inclusive, right? It's not everybody. There are some hands-on things where, you know, people have to go in, but there's plenty of opportunity in many different kinds of industries now. And if you just kind of look at the educational system, universities and colleges are having a bit of a tough time because the brick and mortar stuff has changed. People can go directly online and learn very specifically the stuff that they want to learn. So that means something different down the line in terms of the workforce as well. So I see right now work opportunities opening up in all kinds of different industries, all because of the tech. It's just enabling us.
Mm-hmm. I think that what I'm hearing out of everybody here on the panel is you have to be willing to keep an open mind and go with the flow. And the flow is going. There is change, and the change is going to continue. So, you know, Frank, let's get down to the nitty gritty of your book. Why is it so important to balance our business and our personal life for overall success? Pre-pandemic, during pandemic, and after pandemic. How is it that that's not going to change?
Well, as much as we've tried to separate the two and say business is business and personal is personal, that's crap. You're totally interlinked. Whether you like it or don't like it, you are, and you cannot separate that. So what ends up happening, or what people are hoping now will start happening, is people, executive level, senior level, manager level, will say, look, I don't have to be here for everything. I don't have to have people sitting in front of me. It's all about the outcome. It's not about the process. Get the outcome done. If they can do it from home, fine, do it from home. But they're going to have to start putting in their mind, I go to work at this time. I work like crazy until this time. I go home at this time. And now I'm present. And being present was a big problem for a long time with people moving up and business owners and executives, is even when they were home, they weren't home. They weren't present. They were thinking about something else and they weren't there. And their spouse became, in my case, my spouse became very disinterested and decided to leave. And your children, you're not engaged and you're not part of their life. And I don't know anyone, the old story, I don't know anyone who says on their deathbed, I wish I spent more time at the office.
That's true. That's interesting. Sally, Dr. Sally, you know, Frank brings up something very important here that's connected to your work as well. And that's the connection of the husband at home or the spouse at home with the business. How do you see this happening now with the women you were just telling us about who are more involved in business in Nigeria? The role of the women, how is this going to affect their family life?
Oh, you know, the African woman has always been working hard. We women in the house work because the extended family system is still there. They cope with keeping the kids. And so that's how they go to work. And that those of them who are outside the city where their families are, who don't have the assistance of extended family, they put their kids in crèche, in schools. And the husband and wife know to pay for the crèche and let the child be there while they are at work. So women in Africa don't have problem with keeping the kids back at home, as you will have it here in America. In the rural area, the mother will just easily put the child on her back and both of them will go to the workplace, to the shop, the stores.
And, so talk about a new type of leadership. They take their children with them.
But right now, we have very many nursery schools, crèche that keep the kids. So it's not a big deal for women now. But you know what? The African man wants that you keep your eye on his child all the time. So women still have double career syndrome to deal with.
Double carrier syndrome?
Yes.
Double career syndrome. Yeah, oh, she's got double career syndrome. Yeah, women have always had that.
I have the African accent and the British one put together. You've just got to follow me. Double career. It doesn't give too much stress because we live with it all the time, even in the rural area. We saw our mothers coming up with us. So the African man insists that you keep your eye on his child all the time. So he pays for the crèche. So they take care of his child. And you go pick the child by 5 o'clock when the job is done and take the child home. He won't want you anywhere else but home to care for him.
We may come back and talk about that again in a minute. Nathan, do you think that we could really network well in just 20 minutes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you think about, so typically people think of like a networking meeting has got to last a whole hour, right? Because we sort of tend to think that the longer the time that we've spent, the better that's going to be. But if you just really think about it and you distill what it is that you're really there to talk about, it doesn't take an hour. It can take 20 minutes. Utilizing time in that way is really respectful, not of just that of your own time, but your context time as well. So long as you are thoughtful about what it is that you need to ask, and you're thoughtful about what you need to ask by the research you've done before the meeting, then all you have to do is keep track of time. And in the case of the 20-minute networking meeting, it's got five steps. Each one of them have a time limit. And it's as simple as a great first impression, right? Talking about your background, having the discussion, wrapping up the meeting, and then following up. That's really it. And you can do all of that inside of 20 minutes and yet have a really, really informative meeting. Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. We'll talk about that again some more too. So I want to ask each of you before we start getting toward the end of this second session, because it goes so fast. Frank, where can we find your book? And will you give us your website again?
Sure. The website.
And hold your book up while you're doing it so we can see it. There you go.
The website's simple. It's my name, frankzaccari.com. It's available on Kindle or on Amazon at the moment. Pretty soon it'll be in Ingram and into that system. But we're taking it one step at a time. But that's where you can get them.
And I heard that you became an Amazon number one bestseller this week. Is that right?
We did. Thank you. Yes. It released on Monday, released on the 29th. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it had reached number one bestseller new release. And it stayed there for 3 days, which is, for a relatively unknown author, I thought, well, that's pretty damn good. So yeah, we're excited. And for those of you who don't know, Kat was my publisher.
Yeah, yay. What a small world.
What a small world. So, Sally, tell us where we can find your book and tell us your website again.
My website is sallybolujoko.com. And you can find this book at Amazon and Kindle for now. It is soon selling in Africa at Jumia.
Yes, it is. It's selling in Africa really well. And I know for a fact that on the YouTube channel today, there's all kinds of discussion going on. And some of the people, I think, are from Africa. So, Nathan, hold up your book and tell us where we can find it and your website.
Right. So you can find this on Amazon, iTunes. You can get it on Kindle. If you'd liked an audio book, you can find that on my website, which is nathanaperez.com. And the books also have a dedicated website, and that is 20MNM, as in 20-minute networking meeting.com.
Great. Great. So I'm going to ask you all the same question. Actually, we're probably going to run out of time. So I'm just going to tell you what the question is going to be, and then we're going to have to switch to a break again. But I want to know what your one tip is for the audience for success, whatever kind of success it is, whether it's networking success, whether it's business success, or Sally, whether it's success for women who want to take a place in leadership. Okay. So as soon as we come back, I'm going to ask each of you that question. You've got the whole commercial to think about it. So don't go away, everybody. We're going to be right back.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Have you met your physician within yet?
The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCanavas.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Darkest hours to brightest moments. Transformation from despair to happiness. And chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Canavas. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone, to the last section of our show. Just before we took a break, I asked each of our guests to think about the answer to what is your one tip for success that they would like to share with you, the audience. So we're going to start with you, Frank. What is your one tip, secret?
Probably the biggest secret is knowing when to ask for help and how to accept help. Far too many of us think we'll figure it out on our own, and no one knows everything. And I can tell you firsthand, no job and no money and no title is worth a shattered life. And if you don't ask for help, that's what you're going to end up with.
That's where networking comes in. We're going to get to you in a minute, Nathan. So, Dr. Sally, what is your one secret or your tip you'd like to share with our audience about leadership in women?
My tip would be the right attitude, positive attitude. That will lead you to understanding your personal vision. It will help you to know when to have training, when to get a mentor and respect the mentor. It will lead you to know to rise each time you fail. That failure will not be your destination. You will always know the right attitude, positive attitude will always ask you, stand up and try again. It's an opportunity to begin on a different way. Positive attitude will make you know that success will come by doing and keep doing and keep doing. Success itself isn't a destination, it is a process. The right attitude will make a person to do the right thing every time, whether somebody is looking or not looking. And that brings you to have good character that will create the leadership in you to be sustained. Right attitude, positive attitude will give resilience. It will give persistence. It will give you tenacity, without which you can't succeed in anything at all. You will be determined and you will have guts to speak out for the right thing. And you will take responsibility and you become accountable. And you bring that leadership to whatever you are doing. Right attitude, right attitude, right attitude. And you can mentor others. to become.
I love how you talk, Dr. Sell, I love how you talked about failure will not be your destination. I mean, we all fail at something, but what Dr. Sally is saying, when you fail, you learn from that failure and you move on, and that's part of your attitude. I love that. So Nathan, what is your tip or your secret for success in business, especially with networking?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I think this is what I'm going to say. It's about understanding and really knowing what this networking thing is, right? Mm-hmm. So if I were to tie this back to what Frank said, right, about getting help, you get help by way of networking, but stuff gets in our way when it comes to networking. So what I'm going to say is how we redefine networking. And first, it's by understanding that it's not about, being all slick and smooth or name dropping or being salesy or any of those things. I think we have pinned those behaviors on that word. We've given the word a negative connotation and we end up avoiding networking. But what networking really is, it's very, very simple. It's just about the obtainment of information. That's it, the obtainment or exchange of information. There are many different purposes or outcomes for networking, but it's still about the information and what we do with it, right? Now, that's a simplification, and I want to make it one more step, simplify it even further. If it's just about obtainment and exchange of information, every discussion that we ever have, therefore, is networking. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if I were to say to you, hey, good morning, Kathleen, how are you? How's your morning been? And you respond and you let me know, the morning's been pretty good, spilled my coffee, but it's been all right otherwise. While it's really simple, right, it is still just an exchange of information. And should we have a conversation again tomorrow or next week and pick up from there? Well, look, what we're doing is we're picking up from using the same information, right? So that means that every discussion that we ever have, whether it's in the grocery store, at home, on the phone, over video, is just the exchange of information. That's it. And what we do with it from there, that's what gives us our outcome. So rest assured, you're networking every single time you talk to somebody. All you got to do is be intentional about what it is that you need and what you ask.
Oh, that's great. And, I think an important word has come up throughout this interview, and that's mentor. I believe that even our mentors have mentors, and mentorship is really important. The person who is mentoring somebody else and the person learning from that mentor is really important. And I can tell our audience that Frank and Dr. Sally and Nathan are all mentors. So if you heard anything on this program that you would like to know more about, definitely, definitely contact them. And they gave you their websites. You've got their websites. You can contact them there. And I'm sure that they would either be able to point you in the right direction for mentorship or possibly even mentor you themselves. So we're coming down to the very last part of this show. And I want to ask one more question of each of you. What is your business dream for the future? Because, I'm all about dreams. So what do you see as your business dream for the future? And it can be wild or it can be real. Frank, let's start with you. What's your business dream?
Well, business dream, we're starting down the path. We have a three-book series. The first book is out. There'll be two more coming. And to parlay that into something that's going to help next generation of business owners, business leaders, organization leaders to have success. And that success is not an all or nothing thing. Dr. Sally said that. It's not the destination, it's the journey. And my goal is to help as many people as possible find out where the rocks are so they can walk on water.
Ah, love that. And Dr. Sally, what do you see as your business dream for the future?
Well, my business dream for the future is to keep writing and developing innate leadership philosophy, where I will keep talking about leadership in Africa. I would want that in the next 10 years, every youth in Africa should have a good concept of leadership. I'm dreaming and working to get Nigerian government to allow us teach leadership in schools or the concepts of leadership as I want to lay it out, being value-driven, character to be learned from African schools. It looks like our values are being eroded by foreign values that compounded the issues in Africa. And I'd like that we go back to pick up ourselves and begin to know who we are and develop values that can be African.
And that sounds like a great dream.
And leadership that can serve the African people. We should interrogate democracy if it's not working for us. If we have a way of doing democracy the way it can work for us, we should be coming up with it. I want to be interrogating leadership in Africa until very many other people will join me and we get it solved in the next 10 years.
Great. I think that's a great dream. I'm going to dream that dream with you. Nathan, what is your business dream for the future?
Right. So the way that I see like business success or what the dream is, it is around what the books end up doing. The foundation of the 20-minute networking meeting is about gratitude and reciprocity. And I feel that if people go out there and have the gratitude and give and offer reciprocity for the information or the expertise or just the time that's given to them and being able to give back without expectation, to see that actually have a ripple effect and how a domino effect on everybody else, that ultimately to me would be business success, a business dream.
That would be a dream. That would be great. Well, I want to thank all three of you for being on this expert panel tonight. Frank Zakari, Dr. Sally Bulanjunko, and Nathan Perez. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I think that from what I took away from this panel tonight is I think business has a great future. And I think women in business, Dr. Sally, have a great future and there's a real need for them. So I hope all of you who are watching tonight, if you've got any questions, you will contact these panelists personally, ask them your questions, get their books, read their books, because I can tell you they're fantastic. I've read them. And thank you again for being on the show tonight. And thank you to our producer, Rachel, for getting us all on the show together and making this happen, especially with this storm. None of us blacked out. So until next time, remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O'KeefeCannavos. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.